Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On Billy Borderlands.
I assume there's a character in there.
Yeah, William Borderlands.
The game Borderlands.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday, and with me is
And I'm Billy Borderlands.
It's Billy
Just
Borderlands.
Just in case you cut out the bit from
I wouldn't cut it out. That's up to Rob Collings, who edits this podcast.
True. He would never edit out that gold and that
he might.
Beautiful new character.
He decides what's hot and what's not. He's the tastemaker.
Yeah.
So we'll
Actually,
see
it's
what
been
he
May,
says.
So I'm here also.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's one of the things we're talking about this week. We're talking about the Borderlands trailer, which has been long delayed and rumored to be stuck in all sorts of development hell. And
but then somebody said, let's just fix it in post. Just get whatever you have, whatever we filmed, fix it.
Do that.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Have a farting robot farting out bullets.
That is fun,
isn't
it? Pooping
and farting out some bullets. I just watched it.
Yeah, you hadn't seen it, had you?
Yeah, no, I
hadn't. Because you were excited, but you couldn't bring yourself to watch it.
This is effectively...
You didn't want your heart rate to go up too high.
That's true. This is basically a live reaction to the Borderlands trailer. If we could somehow... If we could change the thumbnail
for
this episode to me being like with a react face. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But
apparently...
Well, what?
Have you seen those YouTube videos that are like, person reacts to hearing Led Zeppelin for the first time or
they're
whatever?
All fake?
They're all fake.
Yeah.
Because it's like apparently they do really well with like boomers. To have a young person go, whoa, this is incredible.
I love music. I love the music from your era.
I don't like my music.
Yeah.
None of this rap crap.
I didn't realize this is where music started.
That's right.
Well, the music you like.
I thought it started with Nicki Minaj. I thought she wrote Love Me Do.
So, yeah, they're fun, aren't they?
Yeah,
I've never watched any of those for a single second. I think I've seen videos of people talking about those and being like, gross. You've never heard Bohemian Rhapsody? I don't believe you.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, Mason, we are going to talk this week about Avatar The Last Airbender, the second live-action adaptation.
That's right.
And it's longer than the last adaptation, isn't it?
Yep. That's it is. No, it really is.
Confirmed here.
A lot longer.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say a lot longer. I would say probably 6 hours longer.
Yeah, four times as long.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about the true cost of Madam Web, like on our souls, but also financially.
Sure, okay. Incalculable $200 million. Or vice versa, don't
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Also, in terms of where the Sony Spider-Man universe is going to be headed.
Yeah, sure.
The early reviews are in for Dune Part 2, which we'll be talking about next week.
Yeah, we didn't get an early screening.
No, actually we did. Do you want to go?
When's it out?
I don't know. It's out this week.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I mean, you could go to the premiere at Melbourne IMAX if you want. I won't go, but if you want to go.
I'd go to the premiere in Melbourne IMAX.
God, now I have to email someone.
Yeah, if
you
could.
You're the worst, Mason.
Thanks, man.
You're the worst.
Thanks, man.
On top of that, we've got a bunch of Warner Brothers stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
We've got the budget for the next Joker movie, Joker 2. Stephen King talking about a Salem's Lot remake, which has just been sitting on a shelf.
Yes, Quing.
Yep. We're going to be talking about...
They just did a Salem's Lot, I feel.
Yeah, maybe.
Didn't they?
Maybe a series or something.
I don't know.
I can't remember. Also, what David Zaslav appears to be going to be doing with Warner Brothers in the near future.
Selling it to somebody?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
A Batman Beyond series of concept arts pieces that was released this week. Did you see that?
Looked like Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it did a bit, didn't it?
Mm.
We're going to be talking about some delays and some dates for some things that have been shuffling around just a little bit. A trailer for Borderlands, as mentioned. We've got a good director for Jurassic Park 6, Jurassic World 4.
Yeah, great.
Marvel's retooling and something. God, there's a lot of news.
There's a lot of news. We can probably skip talking about Avatar,
and
honestly.
And then Naruto something.
Naruto?
Naruto. The guy who runs like this.
I know who Naruto
is. He runs
is.
Like this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Ruined a generation of children.
I saw somebody in Naruto run across the road the other day.
It's, I'm telling you, man, it's fucked up a bunch of like little weebs who have grown into men and women.
True.
You know, and non-binary, wherever you're at. That's cool. Yeah. But it's not a good running style. Also, you need your hands to catch yourself because you're going to fall over.
It's true because you're Naruto running.
Oh, God.
What is Naruto's deal?
He's got a spirit of a demon fox in him or something.
Huh.
Not all something. I know that for a fact because I know everything about anime.
Yeah.
And I do the new Naruto run, but I don't fall over.
Absolutely not.
All right. Time codes below if you want to skip to the Naruto bit. But remember, I want you to cast your mind back to when Madam Web came out last week.
Was it last week?
Yeah, it was the last
episode. Has there not been an episode in between?
No, that was it.
Wow.
I know.
Not a good movie, was it?
No, movies are bad this year. Mm, a
lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
Not good, though.
No, the YouTube video did well.
Oh, that's great.
People were just coming to see us kick a movie, which was fun.
That's cool.
So this is by THR. Now, the original cost of this movie was $80 million that was reported.
Okay.
I don't know how, but apparently it's $100 million.
All right, then, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Apparently the current mood on the Sony lot is gloomy. This is via an insider.
Gloomy mood on the Sony lot?
I mean, that you should have had that 2 years ago when you thought about this.
Yeah, the gloomy mood should have started when they looked over the available properties and the first cab off the rank, like the best one, was Madam Web.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. So that's really funny to me that they're like, what happened? That's really...
What do you think happened?
Yeah, what do you think happened? Yeah. You tell us
again,
in your own words.
It's the fact that there was no superhero stuff in, like, it was just in someone's imagination, really.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah. God, it was good, wasn't it? So this is by also the same article. A theatrical chain executive said, on Wednesday night, this is the Wednesday it came out. It came out on Valentine's Day.
That's right.
You could actually watch advanced purchase sales declining in real time as buyers were refunding their tickets. It really says something when you'd rather have Shazam 2 numbers. I mean, that was a big disaster, and this is a bigger disaster Shazam 2. It's also a much worse movie. That's probably something to do with it.
Yep.
Yeah. One veteran studio source outside of Sony says, I don't know if women are enough to carry the box office here. So this happens every 10 to 20 years.
Sure.
It happened with like Catwoman, Birds of Prey.
The Marvels,
things like that, where they're like, the problem here is women.
Yeah.
And not that you made a terrible, unrelatable movie.
I saw someone say on Twitter, this is what happens when you turn Spider-Man into a girl brand. What do you mean?
A girl brand.
Like Venom.
Yeah, like Venom.
Like classic girl action figure line Venom.
You never or seen like, sexy girl Venom?
No, I have.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But go
it's
on.
In my dorm room. Poster in my dorm room. Whoa.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's taking the wrong lesson again. You know, that's what's happening here because, you know, there is a market for people who want to see female-led anything.
Uh-huh.
We've seen that in movies before. We saw it with Barbie last year and Oppenheimer. That had chicks in it. You told me that, didn't you?
That's right. You looked away.
I didn't know.
Anytime there was a risk of any women on screen, you looked away. But I told you.
Yeah. This is by The Ankler.
Or like, you know, Across the Spider-Verse.
Exactly.
Which has female lead characters in it.
Yep.
And that did very well, I think.
I think that's also because that's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that's the lesson. Or maybe it's just the women thing. Yeah. And speaking of, well, Nick Cage might be doing a live action Spider-Man show or movie or something.
Okay.
And this is by The Ankler. Silk Spider Society is a live action spider women-ish series that they're going to put on Prime.
You better believe it.
And
Spider-Man-ish.
One source close to the series claims that Silk will be refocused with a more male-skewing audience in mind. So that's perfect.
Okay, sure.
So I mean, I don't think this was going to be good regardless.
No.
But just do this now. Mm. just go in a different direction.
Yeah.
So this is Sony. And look, I was going to say they need to be stopped, but they don't. Let's just see what they do.
Again, not our money.
Yeah, that's right. Except for when we buy the tickets. When we go and see them.
Yeah, I guess.
But I write them off on tax. I don't know what you do.
Well, what a good thing you can do, and a lot of people as well are out.
You steal all the urinal cakes. Then you got all the urinal cakes you want.
Oh, my God.
For your house.
That's right, exactly. I'm, you know, People are like, how do you fill your toilet with urinal cakes? I'm like, I steal it from the movies. But, I mean, you know, and if you're, you know, think that, like, you know, you don't want to support Disney, Marvel or what have you, yeah. and you just still want to see the movies, here's a little fun tip for you. What yep. you can do is you go on your phone and you buy a ticket for the Marvel movie and then you see what cinema it's showing in
mm-hmm.
and then you click the big button that says cancel
yeah.
purchase and then you buy a ticket for anything else
anything
that's around the same time
mm-hmm.
and then you just get check your ticket and then you go into the Marvel movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Madam Web
mm, sure.
and you want to pay for it, can you just regularly buy a ticket and go and sit in and see it?
Yes.
Is that an option?
I suppose.
That's what I did.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then you wrote it off on tax. So now the tax man knows you paid to see Madam Web. Interesting. It's embarrassing for you.
It is a bit embarrassing.
And he comes around with his big sack to take all your silverware and stuff.
It's my job, I tell the tax man.
Huh.
Every time I tell someone this is my job, and this has been happening more frequently of sure. late, people go, and you make money from that.
That's really?
Or it's how much do you make? It's some
sure,
variation
okay,
on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Wow. And you make money off that.
I know. Do I make money? Or I get, so who's in them? And I'm like, your podcast. I'm like, me. I'm like
uh-huh.
one of the
I'm
main,
the main
guys.
Guys.
And they're like,
really?
Huh, really? I wouldn't have pictured that.
Okay.
Why?
Not Kyle and Jackie O. They're not on one of your podcasts.
So that's fun. People yeah. are like, this fucking guy, really?
Yeah.
All right.
What if somebody asked you, they're like, can you make money from that? And you're like, what? No. Oh my God, I should have been making money.
So Mason, Dune Part 2 is amazing, apparently.
That's right. That's
the early word it is. 97% Rotten Tomatoes. Who knows? Early days. Mm-hmm. It's apparently shockingly good. Here are some quotes. The best. I loved it. Big kisses. These are all from the major Hollywood outlets. That's
wow.
what they're saying. So
sounds like they're from some of Josh Brolin's poems that he's writing on set. Have you been seeing those?
No.
He's been writing poems for everybody on set.
And how are they?
They're good.
Are they really?
Yeah. I don't know if they're good.
But he's doing it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Then you can make money from that?
No.
Okay.
No, he gets fined every time.
Okay, right.
Denis Villeneuve has a very specific
yeah.
no poetry on set rule. And he gets
I
fined.
Did see his Hot Ones recently. Or was
Denis
that an old
Villeneuve's.
Hot Ones? Or was that an old Hot Ones?
Josh Brolin, it would have been old
his
one.
Last one. Or whatever.
Yeah, it would have been for Dune 1.
That's right. He said he was gearing up to Dune 2.
Okay, right.
That's right. Now, he had a series that came out where he discovers a big hole in his backyard or his farm, and apparently it was this series that was really good that I'd never heard of, and I'm like, oh, I should watch that thing that came out and disappeared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin's Holy Farm.
Yeah, that's right. One hole.
Okay.
Just one big hole. Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, Dune this week. I'll probably try and watch original Dune. Not the original. I'll probably try and read the book. I won't do that either.
Did we see it on?
We watched it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our home.
Yes, that's right. Because that was the era when they decided, well, it was because of COVID, they put all the Warner Brothers releases to streaming.
Yes,
day
that's
and
right.
date. And it ruined their year.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was great for us.
That's right.
But
and we're like, well, Warner Brothers will bounce back from this.
Yeah.
They're full of good. Other than this, they're full of good decisions.
Oh, my God. And here we go, Mason. This is by Variety. Joker Folie à Deux, which is Joker 2. The budget for that has been revealed. Now, if you recall correctly, the original Joker cost $60 million.
Okay.
It was a low-key affair. It was just about recreating a grimy 80s New York or whatever it
That's
was.
Right.
And they had to get the blood squib when Robert De Niro was shot in the head. That's a spoiler for the movie Joker. This one, $200 million.
That's so much
for
more.
Joker 2. There must be some big action sequences in this.
Could be a big dance number.
No action, Mason.
Could be they've CGI'd everything.
Yeah, they might have. I hope so.
Yeah.
Apparently, Joaquin Phoenix is earning $20 million and okay. Lady Gaga is earning $12 million.
Huh.
Big names, big time, big briefs.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of the expenditure will be into elaborate musical numbers
mm-hmm.
and et cetera.
Yeah.
Does this leave you more or less excited for the movie Joker Folie à Deux?
Maybe less.
Because it's
just
you're trying too hard.
Well, if they're just throwing more money at it.
Yeah, I like that though.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. I love how it's like, you know, you can earn like more money by doing a similar budget and like it will probably do like equivalent or round or maybe even more. You could recoup.
I see.
Even
sure,
more.
Sure,
but you
sure.
see what I'm saying, right?
Wow, okay.
Is anybody saying this?
Some lessons you learned from the tax man when
yeah,
you came
maybe,
over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But also,
like, I mean, $200 million is crazy.
It is crazy, and
like even like $120 million, I would
sure,
get.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Double the budget of the previous. Yeah. One, yeah. And also, there is no guarantee that this one, I mean, in the current superhero movie landscape, there is no guarantee that this one will do as well as the previous one.
Yeah.
It might do way worse. I mean, the Marvels sank and Shazam 2 sank.
This one's got a girl in it, and that's bad.
Exactly right. What else sank? I mean, a lot of stuff. Aquaman 2.
Yep.
Argyle. Didn't sink, but it didn't do
awful. Aquaman ended up being the highest grossing Warner Brothers movie since the previous Aquaman.
Yeah, but it still didn't do as well.
No,
did
it didn't do well. Mm. No, it might have just broken even.
Yeah.
But because they didn't market it. Yeah. So that probably helped immensely. So I guess we'll find out whenever this is out, November or whatever. So Stephen Quinn, Kent Quinn. God damn it, Mason.
What have you got against Stephen Quinn?
I don't know. He said on Twitter, and he said, between you and me, Twitter, I've seen New Salem's Lot, and it's quite good. Old school horror filmmaking, slow build, big payoff. Not sure why WB is holding it back. Not like it's embarrassing or anything. Who knows? I just write the fucking things.
All right. First of all, language, Mr. King.
I know. Come on, man. Maybe he was doing all the cocaine when he wrote this, which is how he used to write.
That's right.
He doesn't do that anymore, apparently. Mm-hmm. He's doing clean living. Apparently a Warner Brothers spokesperson.
Vegan cocaine.
Yeah. I spoke to Variety and they said no decision has been made about the film's future distribution plans. This is another thing that Warner Brothers are just like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we'll write it off. We'll see.
Yeah. Is it good? We didn't look at it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell us. But you can't because we won't show you.
Yeah, it's gone.
So, yeah, but there's probably a reason for this. This is also via Variety. In April, Warner Brothers Discovery can entertain offers to buy, sell, or merge with a studio like NBC Universal. This is our famous segment, One big corporation buys another one.
And it's great.
Yeah, and it's great. And you don't realize which one is bigger. You're like, which of these is bigger out of these
two? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Wow.
NBC
really?
Universal is bigger. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they just had 30 Rock.
Yeah.
I just thought they had 30 Rock reruns.
And what they, did GE own them? That happened in 30 Rock, didn't it?
I think, yeah, they're owned by General Electric. Yeah.
So, yeah, in April, Warner Brothers can entertain offers to buy, sell, or merge with a studio like NBC Universal, as many on the lot believe will happen. Then that's when the 2-year lockup period expires as part of the 2022 deal that united Warner Brothers Media and Discovery. Another time the two things came together.
Okay.
Which one's bigger? I don't know. All of the recent moves from the first look pact with Margot Robbie's Lucky Chap to the quest to land Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer follow-up are akin to painting a house before it hits the market. Which has been suspected, David Zaslav, normal man who's running Warner Brothers.
Normal. Into the ground.
Yeah, he's basically stripping it for parts to sell it at for a profit.
Look how much profit we made.
Yeah,
you know?
And then he'll get a huge payout.
Yeah.
That's, God, when is there going to be one big company? It's going to be really good.
Oh, my God. Comcast Apple.
I hope it's Sony.
Yeah. Apple.com. Cast.com.
Yeah, really good. And speaking of Warner Brothers, there's a Batman Beyond concept art which surfaced this week. So Yuki Demers, who worked in the art department on both Spider-Verse films, shared some of these concept pieces. And this is what he wrote about them. 5 months ago, Patrick Harpin walked into Warner Brothers and DC and pitched a Batman Beyond animated feature. Before we pitched it, they warned us there was absolutely no way we can do a Beyond movie, but they loved our enthusiasm. We pitched the outline for the entire film, and what started as a never turned into a maybe. In the time since, we've been pitching our way up the company, hoping to get to James Gunn, but for now, he's a taste of what we've been cooking. And it looks very Spider-Verse.
But I'll cut to the chase. It's still never.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Then, because they are working on animated projects at Warner Brothers. Yeah. Like, there will be new stuff, but this would fall into Elseworlds something. I don't know.
Oh, sure, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they probably want to get the mainline stuff like
working,
and then they'll go from there.
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, Batman Beyond would be awesome.
Cool.
I think it also mentioned on a few sites that. And we talked about this, but Keaton was rumored to be doing a Batman Beyond movie.
Mm-hmm.
They fucked that, so we can't get that anymore. So we've got to wait till Ben Affleck gets old enough.
That's right,
and maybe wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know.
Or you could just catch him during his cigarette break. He'll look old enough.
That's true. Just old and hugging enough.
Film him from the shoulders up.
Mm-hmm. And go from there. But, I don't know. We'll see. Just hold the phone, Mason. Hold the telephone. Which is an applicable expression to this
Hold
situation.
That telephone. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here's some dates. The John Wick spin-off, not the TV show.
Okay, but Ballerina.
Ballerina, starring Ana de Armas, has been pushed to June of next year, 2025. But in its place, The Crow takes its spot of June 7th of this year.
Whoa.
Bill Skarsgård is the Crow. You also had a trailer this week for...
The one where he's being voiced by H. John Benjamin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love all of that. Uh-huh. He's the Crow, and apparently this is a movie that is filmed.
All right. If you say so.
This is what they're telling me.
Okay, sure.
I'm not saying anything.
Mm, interesting.
So that's happening. I mean, this Crow reboot, we've been talking about this for as long as we've been doing this podcast.
It's true.
Bradley Cooper was going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Momoa was going to be the Crow. Everybody gets a shot at being the Crow.
That is so true.
For a time. On top of that, The Boys Season 4 got a release date of June 13th. It's going to do the similar thing where it releases three episodes in the first week and then one each week after.
That's right.
And Mickey 17 got a release date, which is the next movie from Parasite Man.
Bong Joon-ho.
His name's not Parasite Man, is it?
No.
No. And
Robert Pattinson.
That's right.
The Parasite Man, that's what we call him.
He is, yeah. That's going to be January of next year.
Now, you're very excited about this movie.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, this might be cancelled. Or deleted or whatever.
Because it's Warner Brothers also.
Because it's Warner Brothers and you just don't know.
Yeah.
Did you read the book? Is that why you're excited about it?
Yeah. I like the book a lot, but I'm more excited for what this director is going to do with Parasite Man in it.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, Parasite the movie. I like all, Snowpiercer, the one with the big grub in the lake, which is eating people.
That's right.
These amazing filmography. So that's what I'm looking forward to more about this. The story itself, yeah, it's good. It's like a good sci-fi story.
Sure.
It's basically about a guy who... is an expendable person whose job on...
But don't panic, not like the Expendables.
No, it's better than that, thing, yeah. I hope. Whereas he's called Mickey 17 because there's been various... I think the book's called like Mickey 7. But,
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Where he's... If they need someone to... Like there's a radiation leak, they'll send him in, he'll die, and then they'll clone him. His job is just to do stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
And so...
And he gets most of his memory, but...
Yeah, wherever they... He does save points.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's... Yeah, great, hopefully.
Right.
Anyway, next year.
That was your most anticipated movie of 2024, I think.
And now it's my most anticipated movie of January of 2025.
Great.
Yeah, so that's good too, isn't it?
Very convenient for you.
I don't think it is, actually.
Found a little loophole, did we?
Well, what's my most anticipated movie now, Mason?
Some crap.
Joker 2?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
It's Joker 2.
It is, yeah.
I don't want that. It's not.
Because you can't change it to June 2 because that's too close.
Yeah, okay.
So it's got to be Joker 2, I'm pretty sure.
Is there another Indiana Jones movie this year?
No.
No, they're not doing any more?
No, the last one was a massive failure and everyone hated it. We may as well have not happened.
We thought it was fine.
Yeah, we thought it was fine, yeah. That's right.
Which is what you want.
I think so too, yeah.
From a long-established franchise.
Yeah.
Beloved. Trailers ahoy. Borderlands finally got a release.
That's right.
Maybe years ago, the guy who owns Gearbox, Randy Pitchford, Randy Newman.
Yep.
He did a weird behind the scenes video where it just looked like he had everybody hostage.
Oh, yeah, that's so, right.
And he's going up to Kevin Hart, and Kevin's like, great, yep. So they finally released this trailer for this movie that looks to be a disaster. It basically asked the question, what if Guardians of the Galaxy had a really unpleasant vibe and everyone. You know, it was 50 to 70 years old.
Yep.
It asks the question.
It does do that, doesn't it? Yeah. It's an interesting
There's something
cast.
Wrong with this. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Look, here's the thing. I like Kate Blanchett's got a great look in this.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bizarre that this is the movie she did after Tar.
Yeah.
And what did she do? She does something.
I mean, did she do it after Tar?
This was I don't know. Didn't we film it? Yeah,
4 years
exactly
ago,
right,
maybe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and she probably
It's pretty ironic considering the ending of Tar. Am I right, James?
Haven't seen it.
Am I right?
She got stuck in Tar?
Yep, that's right. How ironic, she said.
Yeah?
World famous composer and conductor Lydia Tar. I'm stuck in this Tar.
Nobody helped her?
Save me. Oh, no. Save me some of the people I betrayed in the movie Tar. Oh, no, you're not helping me.
Oh.
I'm drowning in Tar.
That's really sad for Lydia Tar.
Right. Yeah, and in the future they aren't, you know, future paleontologists unearth it and go, oh.
We could use this for fossil fuels.
That's right, yeah.
That's how it works, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. This is really good.
Yeah.
So people who love these games, and I don't, I've never played them.
Okay, sure.
They always seem...
Unhinged?
No, but not in a way that, like, I'm not interested. It's like, ooh, it's edgy and whatever, and I'm like, I don't know, it just looks like you put some neon on a robot. I'm sure there's more to it than that. People seem to like these games.
Yeah. No, they like the neon on the robot.
Yeah, but people don't like what they've done with these characters.
Oh, don't they?
No. The big muscly guy is one of the Drago brothers.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
That's good.
And people don't like that?
No.
You mean the guy with no shirt and a mask?
Yeah. Right. I mean, just in general, they don't like what's happened here.
Oh.
If you're a fan of Borderlands.
Looks exactly like Borderlands.
Yeah, but the cast, they're too old. People are like, why is everybody 70 years old in this movie?
That is interesting.
I think I saw this first on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment, the person who posted it was like, I don't know how they got Kevin Hart to do this. And it's like, of all the people in this, why do you think Kevin Hart is the one that...
Yeah, he's the... I would...
It would be Cate Blanchett. Like, yeah. that's the one,
or,
right?
Or Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, exactly. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Kevin Hart did several Jumanji movies.
He's doing one right now.
Yeah.
This also could be a Jumanji movie. They, may as well.
He could be doing this. He could have made this in between takes of the Jumanji movie.
Jack Black's in both.
That's true.
So anyway, look forward to this disappointing everybody on August 9th of 2024.
Sorry, on every level.
Yep, my most anticipated movie of the year.
Nice.
Is Joker 2.
That's right.
But then it's this.
That's right. Yeah.
If there's... Wait, there is no Indiana Jones movie yet, is there? There's not another one. They're not doing Indiana Jones 6.
No, they
Indiana Jones is turned to dust.
Yeah, they destroyed all the servers that had the 3D model of Harrison Ford's face on it.
Oh, no.
They buried him in the desert next to those ET cartridges.
Oh, no, but they dug those up.
Yeah, to make space for the servers.
Okay, great. It's by deadline. Now, they were in a bit of a rush to find a director for Jurassic Park 4, Jurassic World. No, Jurassic Park
6?
Yeah, 7. Jurassic World 4.
Okay.
Because they set a release date of July 2nd of next year, which is ambitious.
Yep.
And I love ambition.
Same.
It's what drives this podcast.
No, it isn't. This podcast is driven by us doing as little as possible.
Okay. Yeah. There's something ambitious about that, though,
and
isn't
it? And we're surly about it.
Yeah,
we're
mad don't like
that we
it.
Have
we
to do
We don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you make money from this?
No.
We should look into that.
Yeah.
So they got one of the John Wicks guys. They were like, Didn't he's they, doing it,
oh, okay,
and then
right.
he's not doing it.
Not Chad Stahelski?
Yeah, that guy. Or the other guy. Right. One of them.
David Leitch.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, right.
Bullet train guy.
Yeah.
So Gareth Edwards.
And he was like, is there going to be any trains? No. Can I get Aaron Taylor-Johnson? No. Okay, well, then I'm out.
Gareth Edwards.
He's doing a Craven, is he?
Yeah.
Then I'm out also.
Yeah, he's sunk his brand, and I'm not going to be part of that. So, yeah, Gareth Edwards will direct the upcoming blockbuster.
Who, of course, directed Godzilla 2014.
Monsters, Rogue One, sort of. The Creator, more recently.
That's right.
He impressed producers Steven Spielberg and Frank Marshall. And also, it's the writer of the original Jurassic Park script.
Okay.
So people I know were like, and Gareth Edwards was on Corridor Crew this week, and he's like, my interest is in, like, special effects and all of that. So if people are concerned that, like, the story elements might not be up to snuff, don't worry, they're banging out a script.
They're banging it
they're
right.
They probably
That's
have
right.
already
yeah, yeah.
hopefully done it.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though. He spent apparently last week meeting with executives. Pre-production will now ramp up with the director in final negotiations. So I guess not quite.
He could still be out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could we make this good? No. Then I'm out.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll flip a coin. I'm out.
I think this is
promising.
This is I mean, still the date is like... It's
yeah,
good,
absolutely.
I mean, there's a very good chance.
But as we know, Gareth Edwards, when left to his own
devices, he runs and guns.
And when he's left to his own devices, he seems to be quite good at bringing things in time and under budget because he's like, I want the shot to look like this.
Yeah.
And he has 3 months to do it.
Yep.
And I'm not going to change my mind.
Yeah.
Now, whether he can do that.
They'll let him do that.
Under the control of whoever owns the Jurassic Park franchise.
Universal
is a...
It may be Comcast.
Oh, it might be, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever we said earlier.
Is that Universal Vivendi? Is that different from Universal, the distributors?
Okay.
Is that different from the Dark Universe?
No, that's different, which is back, I think.
As a park thing.
Yeah, it's a big park. Oh, we did talk about it, didn't we? Didn't we? Didn't we?
Yeah, I think... Given his track record, I would like to think that this could work, but who's to say? Maybe he'll drop out midway due to creative differences or something. But you know, if we want what we want, which is a Jurassic World,
yeah, man,
I think he could do that.
Absolutely.
Because if you think of Godzilla 2014 and Godzilla just running rampant and the Mutos just running rampant across the world,
I do think about that.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah, and I think also they've got the budget to be like, how many dinosaurs do you want?
Yes.
Because people complain.
One big one.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's great for me.
Mm.
I love one big one. All right, Mason. Mm-hmm. Should we go to the next topic of conversation?
Yes.
Here we go. MCU updates. There was an article via THR this week titled, How Marvel is Quietly Retooling Amid Superhero Fatigue.
That's correct, yes. Continue.
Yeah. So, fatigue. I'm doing a joke.
Love that.
Yeah, so.
That's also correct.
Yes. Here's some things that were in this article. I'm not going to read the whole thing, and I didn't.
Okay.
No, I did, Mason.
Okay.
Executives are apparently not calling what Marvel are doing a reboot, not even a soft one. It's more of a creative retooling.
Stop, don't do that.
No, they're doing it.
I don't.
And they're calling it that.
You shouldn't call it that. Just call it a reboot. Doing. It's fine.
Can't say reboot.
Don't squirrel around.
You can't say reboot.
Creative retool.
No, because they're keeping a lot of the same people, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Some of the moves that they've made, they've hired Joanna Callow, the showrunner of the acclaimed FX series The Bear, to work on the script for The Thunderbolts, which is probably out next year. So
maybe.
You probably want to get started.
We've seen
on that
one image of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Crimson
yeah.
guy, he's waving.
Hi.
The Crimson Russian.
I'm the Crimson
Red
Russian.
Red Russian. Here I am.
I'm the Red
doing
Russian.
A big wave.
Yeah. So that's good. I mean, if they let her. But apparently one of the Bob Iger mandates is now, you know how you were doing one thing. I want you to do this, and that's do more creator-controlled things as opposed to they want to put creative, distinct voices on projects.
No, they don't.
No, they said they did.
Yeah, but they're lying.
No, they said it this time. They mean it.
Oh, okay, great. Terrific.
This is apparently the new Winter Soldier. This is what's happening.
Oh, nice. That was
it's
a good one.
On that tone.
One of the good ones.
One of the good ones that's 10 years old.
Yep.
Apparently also they quietly hired, just quietly, just
quietly.
Between you and me. Eric Pearson polish the script for Fantastic Four. He worked on Thor Ragnarok and Black Widow and has a reputation for taking projects over the finish line.
Okay.
It's good just dragging that carcass.
Yeah.
Those are good movies though, aren't they? I liked Black Widow.
And you didn't?
I did.
Oh, enough.
Yeah.
Okay, Ragnarok's good. Did you see this week there's a lot of ex-Marvel actors, well, two that I can think of that were sort of doing some Marvel bad mouthing.
Oh, who?
Well, I don't know if you call it Marvel bad mouthing, but Robert Downey Jr. was based. He said,
"Oh, he was like, I wasn't legitimate," and then Christopher Nolan made me legitimate again.
Well, yeah, Christopher Nolan apparently came up to him and was like, "You want to regain some credibility
because you did that Dr. Dolittle movie."
Yeah, that's right.
It's interesting they didn't mention that specifically.
Yeah. Also, Mark Ruffalo said a thing, and he said that he was speaking to an actor that he would remain unnamed, and the actor said. That he was having trouble or she was having trouble getting work because certain directors were saying that they'd been in too much Marvel stuff and it was sort of beneath them. And this actor said to Mark Ruffalo, or maybe, and one of them was Paul Thomas Anderson. And I'm like, I don't think that's true. Because Paul Thomas Anderson likes Marvel movies. Like he's one of the directors, like an auteur director who's gone on record and be like, yeah, me and my family, we watch Marvel movies. We think they're great.
Do you think he is talking more of like these people are too overexposed?
Oh, I don't
and I
know.
Put them in the movie and suddenly they're like Black Widow's standing next to someone
else. Another Black Widow.
Yeah, second Black Widow, yeah. That wouldn't surprise me though if somebody said that about something.
Yeah, but I just don't believe it was Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, that's
maybe he's thinking of Paul W.S. Anderson.
No, he'd do anything.
Yeah, he would do anything.
Yeah, and that's why we like him.
Also, P.T. Anderson put Bradley Cooper in Licorice Pizza.
And P.T. Barnum electrocuted that elephant.
That's true.
These are two things.
And Hugh Jackman brought that to life magically.
He technically wasn't P.T. Barnum, I think. Okay, or was he?
No, he was The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
I still haven't seen him.
And he was in that movie, yeah. So Fantastic Four, et cetera. Blade will probably be moved to 2025.
Okay, sure.
No, or 2026.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would otherwise mean that there are four Marvel movies next year. Quick name them.
Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Madam Web 2.
No.
Kraven 2.
Yes.
Kraven 3.
Yes.
Blade.
Blade, yeah. So I think it's Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts.
Yep.
Captain America, Red Hulk.
Yep.
And Blade.
Captain America Red Hot Go.
And there's rumors that
Captain America Red Rooster.
Well, I think I have to give up on Red Rooster, Mason.
Wow.
It's been upset. They changed the cheese to sliced cheese.
Did they? From grated cheese.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah. The sliced cheese, maybe they just ran out of grated cheese.
Not as good.
No, I know.
It doesn't taste the same. They replaced all the Coke stuff with Pepsi products as well.
Sure.
Are they doing this on purpose?
To upset you.
Yeah.
Because you're their one customer. You're their one regular customer. I think they probably just ran out of grated cheese.
Yeah. No, it's regular. It's on the board.
Oh.
I've seen it.
Wow.
I know what's happening. I'm going to have to give it up. Find something else terrible.
Let me ask you this question.
Go on.
When we go to Red Rooster, do they even play music or is it silent in there? Because if you go to like a McDonald's or something, I bet there's like...
Yeah, there's something going on.
Something going on. Yeah. But I think at Red Rooster, they're like, no, we can't afford the license.
Well, you notice because every time we go there, there's like a different award for best store or just a plaque with a chicken on it on the wall. And something's gone, but they don't replace anything. Somebody pulled the TV off the wall, but the bracket is still there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There's like handles missing on doors, parts of playgrounds like dismantled.
Oh, it's
fascinating.
Great. It is, isn't it?
Yeah. But it happens slowly. I don't notice. I'm the frog boiling in the pot.
That is so true, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think I'm at the point I'm going to have to jump out. Anyway, Blade's going to get moved probably or cancelled because Mahershala Ali might
drop out
or doesn't.
Yeah, and he's the one thing with credibility in this in this whole project. And also they haven't written it yet. Or they have written it multiple times and it's bad.
2019 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's just a guy fighting vampires with a sword. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, you want to get that right.
Yeah.
And also, I guess this is the biggest part of it, the Kang Dynasty title has been dropped.
Mm.
So apparently they were looking to move away from the whole Kang storyline. This is before the Jonathan Majors trial resolved.
Didn't we know this already? Didn't we know it was just going to be renamed Avengers 5?
There were rumors of it, but this is the THR saying that this is something. Because I think the stories initially were like, oh, no, they're only going to drop it now, or they're going to recast Kang. But I think even after Quantumania came out, I think they would have, for one, there was too much heat on Jonathan Majors even at that time.
Yeah.
And that guy got like stomped out by Ant-Man.
That's true.
So,
yes.
you know.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Loki.
How are the Avengers going to defeat this guy that Ant-Man beat up?
He's dead. Ant-Man killed him. How are they going to defeat this guy?
Did he defeat him with some sort of molecular? No, just his fists. He just punched him. What, Paul Rudd? All right. Great. Good. Yeah, I bet the Avengers will have a tough time with that guy.
Yeah. And at the end of Loki, they were just like, we got him.
Yeah.
We sorted it.
That's right.
We sorted it. This is why My Time to Shine. Hello.
Fake source, but continue.
Nah, some of this is all right.
I don't know.
Apparently, Henry Cavill has offered and accepted a role.
He's offered and accepted his own role?
That's right.
Wow.
In the Marvel Cinematic Unitime.
Wow.
Apparently, it's not Doctor Doom.
Okay.
People have said Hyperion, who's basically Superman.
Good, sometimes evil. Yep. Superman, sure.
Captain Britain, who's basically Captain America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hercules.
Yep.
But a lot of people are saying
Cyclops?
Cyclops, Scott Summers.
Okay.
And I think that is a good choice.
I think Captain Britain would be my call.
It's too obvious.
But also
obvious.
I wonder
you're a dumbass.
Yeah, I know I am.
You're
but
dumb.
No, I know. I am dumb. And yet with that way lies wisdom. I don't know if – do you think he wants to tie himself down to a long – like a Cyclops-style role? Would he have to be in – multiple X-Men movies?
I think he's a nerd.
He's kind of a nerd.
He's doing The Witcher and he's doing
Warhammer.
Big Mech Suit Man.
Yeah, he's doing Big Mech Suit Man. But that's the thing, isn't that his passion project? Didn't he say recently, this is the best thing I've ever been involved with in my life, doing this show?
All right, settle down, Henry Cavill. You don't have
I will not settle down.
You don't cherish friend moments with friends and
loved ones?
No, I don't.
I only cherish wielding my storm bolter.
That's great, man.
When he went.
Did he? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like Scott Summers. It would also mean that it's an adult team.
Sure, okay.
An adult X-Men team.
Sure.
Which I have no problem with.
Okay.
For some of them.
Sure.
They're being adults.
Sure, okay.
So, yeah, let's see. Let's just have a go.
Let's have a go.
I think that we're talking about this. I think they're going to do the original X-Men team. I think they're going to start there.
Yeah,
and then move forward. But I don't know. Which is like Angel, Beast, but he looks like a man.
Yeah, sure.
Cyclops, Jean Grey.
Do you think they're going to
Emma
do that?
Frost? No, that's not right, is it?
Because that's also some
Banshee?
No. That's sort of the first class team.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know if they will. I reckon they would want another
line. No, that had Darwin and Magnetron.
Yeah.
So it's Cyclops, Marvel Girl, Beast, Angel, Iceman. There we go.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will do that. I reckon it might be some new guys. I reckon we might not have a Wolverine for
No, I agree with that. Mm. I mean they'll do the Hugh Jackman thing and then they might even reveal who new Wolverine is in that movie.
That's true.
I don't know. We'll go forward when that. We'll move forward. We'll move forward when everybody else moves forward. This is by THR. A Naruto movie is in the works.
Whoa.
As I mentioned, the property that ruined a generation of running styles for a bunch of weebs who grew up on this. Destin Daniel Cretton is going to be co-writing and directing it. He did Shang-Chi.
Ah.
And that's happening. It's for Lionsgate. Lionsgate are doing it. And because I put this here because who doesn't love adaptations of anime, even though Avatar's not technically anime.
That's right. It's from Western Studio.
It's from Western Australia.
Western Australia. They made it in Perth.
That's right.
They filmed it behind the Big Prawn.
Yeah.
That's where that is.
Is it?
I don't know. I think it's in Queensland, probably.
Okay. What Naruto? We talked about it. Do we need to?
I don't know what Naruto is.
We don't know what
he's like. Wait, is he? He's got a fox in him.
Yeah, he's got a fox in him. Just right up there.
It's great. That's why he's probably running like that.
Run, yes.
Yeah, he's trying to get away from it.
So the tails are coming out. I think it's multiple foxes because he has multiple tails. Yeah, I don't know how that happened, but
yeah.
It's his life. It's his lot in life.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Before we get into Avatar, I just want to point out, I was on a podcast this week, Mason.
Were you?
It's called Your Two Drunk Aunties with Bron Lewis and Sammy Peterson. Where it's an advice podcast.
Oh, yes.
It's a jokes podcast.
Oh, you love
There's
it. There's
a spooky
you love joking around.
Story among it. I mean, two episodes this Whoa. Week. They release a bonus one on Friday as well as the regular episode on Monday. It's also filmed. It's on a YouTube channel if you want to check it
Damn,
out.
Damn, they probably got it going on.
Yeah, I'll probably mention again next week because I think it's out on, I can't remember if it's on Monday or Tuesday. So I can remind everybody next week if I have to, Mason.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. Sammy Peterson, he does a bunch of other stuff.
You've heard it.
Including Confessions. And Bron Lewis is an amazing comedian. And they're what a fun pairing together that I was there also. I was there.
Did you give good advice?
I give incredible advice.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Do people email in?
Yes.
Love that.
You don't think they would? Can you make money from emailing?
I think you can do it.
You don't think so?
No. Unless you email in like, I was in your store and I slipped on a pee or whatever.
Slipped on a pee?
Yeah.
Pee or a pee?
Whatever. Whatever gets me the most money.
I love this correspondence. Okay, cool. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
That'll be linked below.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. We watched...
Billy Borderlands.
No, Mason. Oh. That was earlier.
Yeah, it was actually.
We watched 8 episodes of a television series this week.
Sure did. 8 hours of our precious lives.
It is. It's true. At least it came out on like Thursday or whatever.
That's true, yeah.
You break it up a little
Sometimes
bit.
It's like Saturday.
That's right.
We have to record Saturday night.
Yes, we do. This time around, it's another adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender. There was That's the right. first adaptation, and there was probably a video game. And there was a movie. We covered it for Caravan of Garbage, and that was cool.
Years ago. We recorded years ago.
We did record it years ago. Were you surprised by all of the insights that you had?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh, well. But do you think you would be surprised if you watched it? You'd be surprised that you were watching
it. I reckon if I watched it, I could probably predict what jokes I was going to attempt.
Oh, because you're so far beyond that now, are you?
No, it's just it's just only...
Your comedy has evolved. You're basically like...
You know what? Yes. I was going to disagree.
You're Minority reporting your own jokes.
That's exactly right.
A big wooden ball that's rolls down and it says something dumb that you'd say.
Yeah, that's right. What if he farted? What if he fell over and he farted?
A big wind came out of his bum.
Oh, that's what I call a bloody airbender.
That's great. You're not going to believe this.
Go on.
This cost $15 million an episode.
$15
million. Yes.
Okay.
What do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
Just get into it, all right?
All right. Okay. So there's four nations and they live in harmony. And
they're the Captain Planet powers
except
of nations.
But except not heart.
No, they've all got heart. Most of the characters have heart, Mason, I think you'll find. That's actually the thing that carries a lot of these characters through.
Disagree.
Like, they get through by the way that they rely on each other.
No,
some people are like, you got to work by yourself. You're the Avatar. You got to do a big flying kick and kick the head of the guy. Kick him right in the head. Kick his head off. And he's like, I just want to be with my friends. No.
No.
Do a big fire kick. Kick his fucking head in.
Okay. Anyway, that happened.
Yep.
Anyway, the four nations, and they got the Captain Planet powers, and they live in harmony because of the Avatar. The Avatar's, he's got all the powers.
Yeah.
They've only got one power.
He's a bloke this time.
But he's got all the powers, and he's like, hey, you kids, stop it. And once, when the Avatar dies, another Avatar is born, but this time it's Aang. And he's told he's the Avatar, and he's like, but I don't want to be the Avatar. I just want to hang out with my friends.
Yep.
Well, you've got to do a big flying kick, Aang. Well, I don't want to. I want to be with my friends.
I want to freeze for 100 years.
I mean, you haven't seen any of my friends. They're not really around.
No.
My friend's this old bloke.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, it's just this old bloke.
Yeah, it's just this old bloke.
Old bloke. He's also my trainer and my, sort of like my dad.
Yeah.
My best friend's my dad.
And he lives in the spirit realm at some point.
Yeah,
That'll be later.
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, the comet shows up, and that means that the fire tribe, they've got the most powers right now. So they do a big battle and
they do a big fire kick.
They do a big fire kick and they show up and they blow up the air tribe. But but Aang, he's the Avatar, but he left and but he freezes himself with his water powers
by accident, I think.
By accident. And then the
100 years happen.
100 years pass and the fire tribe, they take over the whole world.
Yep.
Sort of, mostly. But then Aang, he busts out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, what the bloody hell's going on here? Bloody hell's going on here, you bloody kids.
Who did this?
Yeah. This. You did it, Aang. Because you weren't around. Your dog.
He would have died anyway.
Yeah, he would have. He's bad at it.
Yeah. And he was a boy.
He was a boy also, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's what happened. And he's got to train in all the powers and he's got to stop the bad guys.
Yeah.
But he's got a couple of friends.
He's got mates.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
For the first time. It only took him 100 years.
No, he had that old bloke.
Oh, yeah.
Now, first off,
yes.
I just want to say.
Go on.
And I've seen this suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who thinks this is, like, worse than the Shyamalan version,
uh-huh.
You've lost your mind.
I understand.
That is just, I mean, the only, if you really hated it, I guess you could say, well, it's longer. It's a longer version of the Shyamalan thing. But that felt like I didn't feel like this dragged in the way that dragged.
I kind of felt it dragged, but I didn't.
It's also.
I don't remember what. Watching the first episode of this, I'm like, oh, I remember elements of this.
Yeah.
Small bits.
Because you did watch it 4 years ago.
I'm like, oh, I do remember when he got frozen.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Should have watched the video.
Nah.
You're in it.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I was expecting the worst.
Yes.
And I thought it was okay.
I think some of this is the worst.
Okay.
Here's one thing I'll say. I think I've reached stagecraft saturation. I think everything is made on the volume now.
Yeah, well, this was.
And you can a lot some of the time you can really tell because
it's the same thing
we saw with Ahsoka, which is just three people standing shoulder width apart, just standing next to each other, and they're like, "That'll do."
It's the mountains.
Just a sort of medium shot of that.
Yeah,
and look, you're in the Arctic.
There's moments where like they're on the back of the flying bison, and they're just chatting, like they're inside a car.
Yeah,
like there's no wind whipping. Yeah. They're just like, "Oh, hello." They're not like yelling over the wind.
And I think it's at a certain point. Look, what I tried to do is I tried to be like, well, it's a magical world, isn't it?
It's a
magical, surreal world.
Yes.
And it's not always going to feel like the world. But it's so much of this I'm like, oh, boy, this does not look like it's taking place anywhere.
Yeah. And it's I would say also some of this actually looks great.
Some of it looks – you know what I think? I think the sky bison looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is why you see it like –
Maybe once or twice an episode,
and sometimes not at all because it's so expensive to do it and make it look good. Like there's when you see the first reveal of it, like he lands in the snow and he shakes off all the snow, whatever, and then Aang goes up and hugs him, and I'm like, this is gonna look bad.
They don't do that again though, do they?
No, but they look, and I think that's probably because they just built a big furry wall, and had him, hug it, and then they integrate it. But I think that effect is actually pretty good. But again, and the little monkey man, That's rarely in it.
They really take, and this was similar for the movie, but less so. They take a lot of the personality out of those characters because they are expensive to implement. You know, they're not real creatures.
Yeah,
which is interesting. It's an interesting approach.
Well, they could have put a furry jacket on a pig, and filmed it really close. You know, I don't think it'd look about the same. I think it'd look about the same.
Have you seen he does a sketch comedy. Tim, I think you should leave.
Oh, yes.
Where the pig comes to the door and it's got a Richard Nixon mask. Yeah. It just reminded me of that.
That's good.
It's a fun show that I haven't actually watched. I've just watched multiple clips of.
I
think there's things that they've moved around which they didn't need to. They show the Fire Nation massacre up top.
Which you don't, like.
And you don't, you find out, like, you know it, something happened. I can't even remember specifically because I watched this whole show like 4 years ago.
So you've seen the movie and you've seen the animated series. Yeah. So you'd be better qualified to talk about the differences.
I mean, it's been a while. Yeah. So, and I had a kid in between.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's true.
Cut me some slack here.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, a bunch of kids being massacred in your mind is often blending with you wanting to massacre kids.
And Anakin doing it.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite child massacre. Yeah, but I felt like
you don't need to see it.
Well, I know that you could see it later,
right?
But because I think there are some like exciting action moments in it.
Yeah,
but you don't know.
Because it's easier.
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't really know anybody at that point except for
that's true.
Bald
so it doesn't
guy.
Really.
So you don't like you. So it's. I feel like it doesn't as much trust the audience for the world to unfold in the way that the animated show does.
Right.
Like it kind of starts quite slow and like the pace is kind of like it's gentle and it eases you into it and then it expands out and it's like you learn about different tribes and cultures and you get a sense of the world and different creatures and people and whatever. Where this is like, hi, Aang, you're great. I think you're my best mate. And also these are the previous avatars and you're the latest avatar. You're the most important person in the world. I hope you learn a lesson about friendship. Don't run away.
That's right.
And then he runs away, which is also – they took I saw somebody worded this better than I did, and I don't know who, so I apologize.
You don't know yet, James.
No.
You might word it better than them.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Aang in the cartoon, he's got this sense – he's got a wanderlust.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Where he's not strictly, like, looking to unite anybody. Like, it's something that he knows he has to do.
Is there more side adventures in the cartoon?
And kind of he's
– sorry, the anime.
Yeah. He's,
wink.
He's reluctant and also he's a child, so he wants to have little adventures and, like, explore different villages and meet different people, which ends up, like, aiding him in his journey because he's actually learning from just existing in the world and getting to know, people.
Well, one thing I did notice in this...
And he doesn't have that here.
Yeah, well, one thing I did notice in this that I think sort of is in the same vein is that a lot of the characters, which I assume in the cartoon are always supposed to be hanging out...
Yeah.
There's like this mid period of like episodes 3 and 4 and
mid.
Five.
You're like mid. Is that what you said?
Where they're just not, they're all on separate adventures. So when it gets to like the last couple of episodes, it's like, where they're a team. And I'm like, how much working together have you done though?
Yeah.
Really? You and Katara and soccer.
Yeah.
Sorry, football.
Yeah.
We've got an international audience.
Yep. European football.
European association football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like also they, like some people, I don't think anybody is bad in this.
Yeah.
I think these characters, and some people go over the top in a way which I like, which I'll get to. And some people are given dialogue that doesn't necessarily help the character or even scenarios. Like I think Gordon Cormier as Aang, I think he is good.
I think he's good.
I think he's compelling and he's great at the action sequences.
Like he's quite young though.
He's young.
Is this his first role or is it like?
Probably or like close to.
But
they don't give him that like, he's a child and you can see he's a child, but they don't lean into that enough, I feel.
Right,
like he's a child. He could do it.
Yeah.
If you gave him the opportunity, because he also in the show, like he is stoic and he does make hard decisions and you see that here and I think he's doing a good job there. But with like Katara and European football, they take away a lot of the things that they do in the animated stuff. So Sokka learns like
not to
do big sexism.
I that's one thing I knew I was aware of that they took out his arc where he's like, I don't think women can be warriors, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But also
– and it's also because he's like – he's insecure because his sister has amazing magical powers and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
But also don't we learn later that the head of his tribe is like, well, I don't think women can be warriors and then
– that in the show later. Yeah. Yeah, in these episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a different tribe area, yes.
So like – that is, it's interesting.
They do the sexism, but later.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting that that is a lesson that is to be learned by,
yeah.
I assume, the kids who are watching this and the kids who are watching the cartoon. But I think it's always interesting to me when they're like, well, we can't have a character be slightly bad and then learn.
Yeah.
We can't have that. So let's have this character that we don't care about be sexist.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I hate the idea of like, we have like the golden boy.
Yeah.
You know, no, they don't have any flaws and there's no way you can't, it's not interesting.
No.
You know what I mean?
He's also not.
I think that guy's kind of fun in how dumb he is, though.
Well, he is. And he's way dumber and way funner in the show.
Right.
In the animated, because he's given so much of that. Like he's a very endearing character because he's a fucking goofball.
Right.
And he is sexist. So the storyline that he normally has.
Which is why you like him so much.
Yeah, that's why I liked him so much until he learned a lesson. Then I'm like, I can't relate to this guy at all, actually. So he basically, he meets the Kyoshi warriors and he's like, this is ridiculous, like the female like warriors. I'm a real warrior. I'm looking after my tribe or whatever.
Okay, stick.
Yeah, he gets humbled and he ends up dressing like them because he wants to learn their ways. And by doing that, we're like, well, if you're going to do this, then you have to do all the things that we go through.
Right.
Whereas here, he just learns the thing.
Sure.
He just learns it and he goes, this is pretty good. Can I do this? And she's like, yeah, all right. You can do that, I reckon.
Yeah, sure.
So I think that's like, yeah, you're doing
it's
the character.
$15 a lesson.
Yeah.
You got to pay for 10 up front, though.
Yeah. You'll sign this waiver because I will break your ankle. I feel like you're not giving the character, like, enough to do or, like, the audience enough credit that they can go, like you said, he learned a lesson.
Yeah, you know?
I think they were really like, I think maybe they would have been like, can we put someone in a dress? What kind of feedback are we going to get from this?
Oh, yeah, right.
What does that mean? Who's going to be upset by this or whatever? I think they probably just went, let's just not.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Which is the worst decision you could make.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for this.
Yeah. Mm. I think the actor who plays Aang, I think he's good.
I liked his shaved head.
I did too. I think you can, like, it's a fine line, but I think you can tell he's really acting in a lot of points.
Sure.
I mean, he is acting.
He's an actor.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know, but I mean, that's just because he's young and this is his.
Yeah, and he'll, like, if this gets a season 2, and I'd say it probably would, like, you'll watch these people get better. Yeah, I also think, like, Katara is not given enough to do until, like, the later episodes. You know, like, her relationship with Aang, like, you see that unfold and they learn off each other because they both don't know waterbending that well.
That's true.
And so they're kind of, I don't know, I've probably got the timeline of this all messed up. But one thing I think they did nail, and because it's just what happened in the animated.
Nice.
Paul Sung Hwang Lee, who plays the uncle.
Yes.
The uncle bad guy, but is he really a bad guy? And Dallas James Liu, who plays Zuko. Danny Zuko. All of that.
Yeah.
Amazing. But also, they're very good in these roles, but also it's just exactly pretty much how they did in the animated.
Okay, yeah.
Which to me is like, you're changing some things and not others. But what's the point of this?
Sure.
Because I feel like with, like, the Last of Us Last of Us
TV
adaptation,
show.
Like, it's different.
Yes.
But you're like, oh, I see where you did that. Mm. Whereas this, I'm kind of like, well, you nailed just doing the exact thing.
why not do it frame by frame?
Well, yeah, all that and, like, what are you adding to it then?
Well, yeah,
like,
okay.
Is it, it's not enough, I think, to just be live action. And, look, my son, I was probably two or three episodes in, and I'm like, look, I need to watch this. Do you want to watch an episode with me? And he loved it. He was
there,
like, and he jumped in the middle. He's like, this is incredible. And so I just went, listen, we'll watch one, and then we're just – you just watch the animated thing.
Ah,
because,
right.
Because all the concepts from here I think are so strong, and it's all there. It's already four seasons and
it's done, yeah.
And it's done. So, yeah. The bending's pretty good in this, though. It's better than the MR
version. Yeah, it looks pretty good, yeah.
That
it's
guy, the guy plays Zuko, some of the kicks he's doing, like, that guy, he's moving.
He's moving.
He's moving, Mason.
He's moving, all right.
But that relationship between them two and, like, how he lost his son and all of that and the way that that's explored, like, it's really heartbreaking.
I like my favorite character development was, when, you know, the Katara is holding a lot of trauma because her mother was burned to death in front of her.
Yeah.
And Sokka's character development is his dad thought he sucked.
Yeah.
Just about equal levels
of burden. He nearly crashed that boat.
Yeah, equal levels of burden there.
I agree.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of parallel lives, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. God. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough.
All of these situations are the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's Iho is the uncle's name. I can't
remember. Iroh. Yeah.
Iroh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I should know that. I watched it 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And I watched this recently.
You did? And they said Iroh.
Yeah. You fight. There's this, like, probably the best scene in the series is where, like, it's about him and his son and he sings this song or whatever. It's not in this.
Oh.
But, I mean, Paul San Huang Lee, who's in, like, a bunch of stuff. He's in, what's that show, Kim's Convenience? He's in Star Wars, Mandalorian. He's one of the pilots or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Like, they're really, really good.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, when they got to the fish stuff, they're like, this fish is magic and it's from the moon.
Oh, and it loves the moon. Sure, sure.
I was like, oh, I hate this.
Oh, that's the next thing I was going to bring up.
Because of the M. Night stuff.
Oh,
but
I don't
seeing
again.
This, I'm like, oh, this is a better version of that.
Yeah, because my next thought was
he's a big smashy water monster.
Yeah, but I mean, my what do you think the best action sequence in this show is? Is it I think it might be the part where the woman takes over Aang and can use all the
That's pretty
power
cool,
and she fends off everybody.
I think it's somebody else. I think it's Roku. It's a Roku Fire Stick. No, it's a Roku. The previous avatar, I think, in the animated is a fire guy.
Right,
I think. I don't remember. Anyway, go on. Sorry,
but I think that's probably the best action sequence. But then my next thought was, boy, it's short. It's sort like there's a lot of lore, and it feels like, to me, it really felt like those last couple of episodes. It really kind of, I'm like, boy, this is a lot to take in a day.
Yeah, sure.
Like, we've already done the fire bending and all the stuff and all
and the fishes,
the world building, and all the background characters and all the trauma they've gone through and all this sort of stuff. And then it's like, yeah, but then the big fish, he lives, he's in love with the moon. They're in love, and then the moon goes away. They capture the moon, and then he's mad, and so
Aang takes on.
Then Aang can take and become like,
but he can't, now he's that forever.
Godzilla, but then he's going to sacrifice. But it's all right, because when that lady died, when she was going to die,
the woman from Prey,
they save the fish, or the moon possibly saved her, and then the moon left some moon spirit in her so she could sacrifice her life to become the moon again, and then the moon would be back, and then Aang wouldn't have to, you know.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
The moon.
Yeah.
Don't worry about any of that, by the way.
Don't worry about it because it's done by the next season.
Yeah,
great. Good.
You don't
good.
Need to think about it.
I won't ever again.
Yeah, yeah. I like the weird face-stealing monster.
Sure.
That's a fun inclusion, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I liked it when he'd visit the previous avatars.
Yeah, fun. Okay. Is that new to the series?
No.
Okay, right.
But I don't remember.
Okay.
So maybe.
Yeah.
But no?
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he is all the previous avatars.
Technically, yes. Okay. Although they're the same spirit.
Nice.
It's like, it's Doctor Who.
Sure.
It's Doctor Who rules.
Okay. So sometimes he can be
Doctor
a fire
Who rules.
Guy. Sometimes he can be a dog guy or whatever.
He can be a dog guy.
That's great.
I mean, they all have to do all the avatar stuff and whatever.
Ugh.
So that's... Ugh, yuck.
Work.
Unless you have anything else to say, I've got some reviews here from people who have written in.
Look, I
just watch the original.
Okay.
I think, again, there is some. I found this like a pleasant watch.
Sure.
But it made me go, geez, there's some good ideas in this, isn't there?
I
think there's some, again, really good performances in this.
Yeah, I reckon at the start of episode one or towards the start, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm like, these characters feel a little bit one-dimensional, but I think as I was forced to watch it because I had to, I'm like, okay, there's more demand. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna hate this soccer guy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hate him, but I'm like, oh no, he's fun and funny, and you know,
he's got a great
his dumbness, and he's exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, I think I grew to like him, but again, is this gonna get another season?
You think it
will?
I think it's gonna do well. Okay. I think it's not.
But is it gonna do well enough to satisfy the Netflix algorithm? I don't think anything can at this point.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then so at that point, why not? Like what I'm getting from you is like watch the original series because it's a complete epic and then just watch this live action version as a sort of fun novelty.
It's to be like, oh, that's different.
This is how it would look as if it were real kind of thing.
I think that's a good way to look at the show. It's like, oh, yeah, this is that other thing.
Let me ask you this. How does the action feel compared to the animated version?
I mean, the animated – like it's
because I've only seen clips.
Yeah,
there's a clip that's being passed around. You know, the point where Aang gets on, he builds
the air bubble.
A big air bubble and he spins around and he crashes into a thing, and that's often been shown side by side. Like,
doesn't quite
work in live action.
No, that doesn't necessarily work the same. But I would say there's enough good stuff in here where they didn't botch it.
Okay,
but the animated stuff is incredible. There's so many like. I mean, and it just ramps up.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff that you can do in animation because it's way cheaper. It's basically free.
It's free.
Yeah. You can do anything. You can think of anything and then you can just have someone draw it for you.
Yeah. Snap your fingers.
Yeah.
Do a big air ball.
That's right. So, yeah. But again, just the show. I thought, look, the lesson here is obviously don't kick out the original creators also, which is what they did. Mm. They were on board for this. The same thing happened with the movie.
And they wrote some of it?
They wrote some of it and then they went, this is a different direction, and they left or were kicked. I also wondered, was that just more of a to get kind of the fans on board? Did they really want their input?
Oh, I see, right. Okay.
You know, so.
But surely the PR damage from them quitting, they'd have to know.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way that you could have done this, if you look at the way that Invincible is being adapted into animation, animation, is that Robert Kirkman is heavily involved and he's like, okay, well, that was that version and now I'm going to take it in this direction.
Sure, yeah. Mm.
And he is the original creative voice and obviously there's more people involved, but he's still the driving force behind it. It's the same with The Last of Us. Like, Neil Druckmann, and now he's got Craig Mazin or whatever, and they're reinterpreting what had been done before.
That's true.
Whereas this is not so much that, it turns out. But it was still great, and it's probably a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
This is my qualified goose. They sent us in. They said, just finished last Airbender series. I wondered how many times can Nickelodeon adapt this before they take the hint and work with the original creators. There you go. I rate this show 1 stolen line of dialogue from Man of Steel out of 5. Did you see that? It was like, can't we be friends? And he's like, you're my mate. Man of Steel. Wesley Walker says, 1 episode into Avatar Netflix, and it's obviously inferior to the animated show, but it's a lot better than the movie. The effects and pacing aren't the best, but they're better than people decided they'd be before it came out.
Uh-huh.
It at least has some personality to it, so that means Netflix at least did a better job than Disney Plus did with Percy Jackson. Ooh. Is that good or not good?
That's a burn on a show I haven't seen.
Yeah, man. Or read the books. Mm. Also, the director copied the Can I Pretend Your Sunline from Man of Steel. Which is really weird and it didn't fit
you
at all.
You always on. So that's not in the anime?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, they're mates,
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah. James Bailey says, these ones are from the Great Mates group, if you want to go over there. Don't be rude, though. I watched 1.5 episodes and it's pretty rough to watch. Like, I'm finding this harder to watch than the Bebop live action show. I never watched that. It was so unbelievably ugly is my main gripe. Truly the worst use of the volume I've ever seen and the writing is just slop. Ooh, and Matthew Haddock says, well, I'm having fun. There's a weird amount of negativity about this show when I think it's perfectly fine, a fine, serviceable series. Nothing mind-blowing because I've seen it all before in the original show, but nothing offensively bad or awful.
I mean, that feels like the quintessential review of a live-action adaptation of anything at this point.
Yeah.
The best you can say in a lot of instances
except for
is,
One Piece.
That was fun. That was fun. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that is for a lot of these, that's the best they can do. From the Disney live action remakes to these live action remakes, the best a lot of people can say is, well, it's pretty all right compared to it's all right. It's like the original, but it's not. And it's slop.
Yeah, and we'll cancel it.
We'll cancel it. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see a second season. I would like to see what else can they do with this, you know? And again, because I like all of the actors in this, really.
Mm.
Good on them. God
Good
bless
on,
him.
Yeah. Yeah. Good on Dr. Hahn.
Good on him.
The good doctor.
The good doctor. Oh, yeah. He's the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was rude in this, wasn't he? He was
very rude.
I don't think he's supposed to do that.
I mean, it's rude.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst things you can be.
Agreed. Should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
What to?
What are we reading?
Yep.
What are we going to read?
Wow.
I'm doing a thing.
What are we reading today? What have you been reading?
What have I been writing?
Yep.
Checks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Checks that your butt cannot cash?
Correct, yes.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Right. That's right. It's a fun exercise, you know?
It is, isn't it?
What's a figure that my butt couldn't cash? I'll write it on the check. Be fun. What have I been watching? I would start in because this is based on anime.
Yeah.
Because obviously Last Airbender is based on anime.
It is an anime.
I started rewatching Neon Genesis Evangelion,
which is a very
famous anime.
Where in so, that whole run?
What do you mean?
Different.
Oh, I started at the start, first one.
And?
Still good.
Do you like how the thing changed into another thing? And someone went, ooh.
Yes, I did like that. I did like that.
Is that the bit that you probably...
I don't know if I'm going to finish, because it gets pretty heavy. Neon Genesis Evangelion, the last couple of episodes are sort of very talky. A lot of the, without getting too far into it, some of the main plot is just sort of abandoned, and it's very much like a existential talk fest, and a lot of people didn't like that at the time. There was a lot of complaints, and so they made the end of Evangelion, which is a real...
Just a big punch-up.
It's a real downer, that one.
Oh, good.
And there's apparently some new stuff, like it's called Rebuild of Evangelion, which I was unaware of and I haven't seen. So, I mean, I guess I will probably watch this whole thing and then start on...
How much of it is there?
It's 26 episodes of the first season.
Okay.
And then other stuff.
Is it funny?
It's a little bit funny.
Great. I'll check it out.
Okay.
I mean, I already have.
Yeah, of course. I'll check it out again. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I also rewatched Dungeons and Dragons, the movie.
Good movie. I keep seeing that popping up, and I'm like, I should watch that
there's
again.
There's always a small resurgence on Twitter of people just saying, we failed this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we did, but also we tried. Yeah. We saw it and
we
liked it.
We told everyone we liked it.
But didn't it come out the week before Mario or something like that?
Yeah, something
terrible choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, I mean, and they called it Dungeons and Dragons. They should have called it Elden Ring.
They should have, or they should have waited until Baldur's Gate came out.
Yeah.
And then released it the week after that. And they would have made $1 billion.
They should have called it Super Mario Brothers the movie.
Super Mario Brothers the movie, wink.
Not the 1993 one.
Exactly. It's fun. Like, all the jokes still land. Everybody's great in it.
Mm.
Good, like, just such a classic kind of hero's journey kind of vibe. You know, everybody's got a good arc to them. And
it's Guardians of the Galaxy-esque.
It is very Guardians of the Galaxy-esque, but it's also very Dungeons and Dragons-esque.
Yes.
Like if you've ever played it, it's like
it's nonsense.
Well, it's nonsense, and also you can sort of feel the
slapdash.
Well, no, you can sort of, and you know, maybe this is just if you have played Dungeons and Dragons, you sort of feel it. But you sort of feel like there's moments where the dungeon master's just like, oh, how can I? They've ruined everything. How do I sort this out?
Yeah, okay.
Like
you
know, I think we mentioned before, like it turns out one of the sticks that the character is carrying is actually a powerful magical item that just helps them.
Yeah, gotcha.
Because there's a big elaborate trap sequence that instead of, they just trigger it and they ruin it.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's the character of the paladin who's just, he's clearly the dungeon master's NPC character. Because he's gone, this adventure's going to be too tricky for them. So I'll just bring in a guy who can solve some of their problems immediately.
I like that
a
lot.
And there's a big fat dragon.
Yeah, and that's fun too,
that is fun.
Well, I watched the rom-com of the century, Anyone But You.
What do you think?
It's all right.
It's set in Australia,
it's
mostly.
It's pretty rom-com-y.
I mean,
I think it is a return to that kind of like, I mean, it's been doing well in cinemas and it's now on streaming, where it is that classic kind of rom-com. But it's also, I would say, there are some directions it takes. I mean, it is the formula that you've seen.
Yes.
But where they put in a little bit more effort to make it a little bit funnier, a little bit sexier and a little bit, you know, in ways that like you didn't have to.
Sure, yeah.
But you did. There's some very specific Australian references that were like, you didn't have to do that, but you did. And I appreciate that.
Okay.
It does feel like there's like four people in it.
Right. Okay. Someone was saying it's an adaptation of Much Ado About
Apparently,
Nothing.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I was watching it.
Yeah. Oh, I watched No Hard Feelings, speaking of. Did I mention
that a couple of weeks ago?
It's the Jennifer Lawrence one.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah, I like that too.
That one's fun too.
That's a little bit raunchy.
A little bit raunchy.
A little bit this and that.
Yeah.
She has a nude punch up on the beach.
She sure does.
That's true. That happens.
Yeah.
So the rom-com is back. Well, apparently this one was the biggest one since like Bridget Jones 3.
Whoa.
So hopefully this leads to more of these actually
staying. One where Bridget Jones goes back in time to feudal Japan.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's fun if you haven't seen that one either.
Yeah.
That's a dreadful movie, actually. It's just not.
Not according to the box office.
No. Mm-hmm. And who can argue with
that's right.
the box office?
Oh, and I read some Ghostbusters comics.
Oh, because we're doing some Ghostbusters stuff?
That's right, yeah.
We're also doing Superman 64 next week for Never Go Back.
Uh-huh.
We recorded it twice, and I did not want to do that. Did I, Mason?
You did not.
The first one did not work.
You got furious.
But at least the second one was longer, so people got more content out of it. So I got stuck on those tornadoes for longer.
Yeah.
And some other stuff happened in it.
I will say about these Ghostbusters comics.
Yeah.
It's the we're doing the first IDW run.
Well, I picked that one specifically because it's a good one. It wasn't an accident, Mason.
Mm.
But go on. I did my own research.
Oh, yes?
I did that for you because you love Ghostbusters and I don't give a shit. That was for you. That was a gift. Anyway, go on.
No, it's not a gift because it's just we're doing it for SEO reasons. Even though, like, surely that, like, this is it's paywalled.
Yeah.
So surely the SEO doesn't.
No, I'm doing it because it lines up with the movie and whatever. It's good to tie things in.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't have the writer's names here, but they've nailed it.
Yeah.
Like they've got they
I know because I researched this, Mason.
Oh yeah, good. Well, they really have nailed the kind of the voices of the characters.
Yeah.
I thought that was it's
Is it more animated Ghostbusters or movie Ghostbusters?
It's a nice blend of them both. Like they've got they're more realistic in that they haven't gone with like blonde Egon or red-headed Ray Egon. Or whatever, but they've given sort of that kind of cartoony aspect to them.
Yeah.
But they look good and it's sort of set after It's set after the Ghostbusters video game.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's not a great game.
I think it's good.
You would.
Yeah, I do. I wouldn't have do.
Correct. Should we next segment of the show?
We should next segment
I am looking
of
forward
show.
To reading some Ghostbusters because I want movies to be good and they have not been good this year.
Yeah, that's right.
They've been two bad movies.
But this week coming up, it's Dune.
It's Dune, Mason.
Dune is going to be the big one.
Can you play the Dune
and
theme
I'm going,
song?
And I'm going to the premiere of Dune or something.
Oh, yeah, I got to email them. I'll do
you
that
can,
now.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you play the Dune theme song for
Yeah, I'll play the Dune
later?
Theme song. I've only got Our Letters theme. Is that all right?
That's the Dune theme song.
Is it now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, folks, imagine some rolling sand dunes and like the Emperor's army lining up, you know, millions of soldiers and ornithopters and the sandworms are coming. Look out. Bloody sandworms, look out.
The classic one was Letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a take away.
We're going to here right now. We're going to do letters. For the Emperor.
They said, I only have the Sydney Dune.
You only have the Sydney Dune.
Yeah.
Wow.
So do you want to go to Sydney? To what's
I don't want to go to the Sydney Dune. No. No, I don't.
Let me check.
Okay.
I got an email that says Dune tickets on sale now. Is that something you need to know?
No, I know that. I'm well okay. aware.
Yeah, cool. No, man, I didn't get one. I guess I'm off the list. Well, feels good. There's one less email I have to deal with.
That's right.
If you do want to reach the show, because this is the letter segment, you can hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter if you are so brave. Mm-hmm. Or you can send an email to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Mason, what do you got for us this week?
Here's an email from Rahul.
Ooh.
He said,
Rahul
oh, Lordy,
Julia?
Yes. Oh, Lordy, Elordy, the Jacob Elordy incident. Is that how you pronounce his name?
The Australian dude.
Yeah,
I know this dude.
Can you please cover the Jacob Elordy story from a few weeks back and give the Aussie view on it for all of us non-Aussies? The article I read mentioned the phrase, tracked him to a hotel bar and prank gone wrong. So I immediately figured that whatever Elordy did was probably justified. I thought I should reach out to the two Aussies I trust the most to get the full picture.
I don't know I read what happened or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But the people who instigated this prank, they have a radio show, Kyle and Jackie O, and they're the fucking worst, and they will not disappear. It has been 30 years, Mason, of this,
yes.
And I simply cannot anymore.
Yeah.
So they're just – look, I don't know anything about this guy, Jacob Elordy. I know – like
he's the new Elvis.
He's the new Elvis and whatever. Mm. Like I've seen things that he's in that I've enjoyed.
I read recently that Austin Butler had to go – because he's the previous Elvis, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
He had to go to a vocal therapist or a vocal coach to get rid of his Elvis accent.
It was two Elvis. He got two Elvis.
Two Elvis.
Mm. You don't want to go to Elvis because of all the things that Elvis did.
Well, exactly right.
But he
had to do it, which is, you know,
he
really went into it. The most Australian-looking non-Australian guy.
Totally. I thought he was Australian.
Yeah, exactly.
And now he's that big white sperm guy in Dune 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's all like, therapist is like, okay, Mr. Butler, we've finally cured you. And he's like, well, I get reward. Oh, no. Oh no!
And they cuff him.
They cuff him and they put him in the back of the straitjacket. What's funnier, James? Let me ask you this: if he'd said, oh, thank you very much, or if he'd said, Ah, thank you very much, Mama.
That's funnier.
It's funnier.
And okay. They might not have cuffed him.
No, that's true. Yeah.
For that. That would have been good joke.
Good joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, well, edit that in your own head.
I will. Yeah. Anyway, Jacob Elordi, I don't know anything about him or whatever. Maybe he's terrible. I don't know.
You probably shouldn't choke anybody out.
No, absolutely
not. If that
not.
In fact happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's right. There was that element of it. Then, yeah, that's dreadful, obviously.
Yeah.
But Kyle and Jackie O are just, they're the worst. And they have been the worst for as long as I can remember.
But people seem to love them.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand. Do they?
Because it's radio ratings. Because
it's radio ratings.
So the thing about radio ratings, I don't know how they do it anywhere else, but in Australia, somebody just calls you and they say, have you been listening to the radio recently? And you go, I guess. And they go, what channel? What radio station? And you go, I don't know.
Fox FM, drive time or whatever.
Yeah, because maybe you listen to it in your car or your workplace has it on all the time. And they go, great, let's give $10 million to
these morons again.
Yeah, great, good.
So, yeah, it's all this. They've just been doing, like, controversy and whatever for decades.
Just terrible stuff.
Just
look up there. I bet it's all on Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's all there if you are interested, which, you know, you shouldn't be. But just take our word for it. Mm. Yeah, and also Kyle was on Celebrity Big Brother.
That's cool.
I know.
Yeah.
Mason got this from Carmine. He says, I'd love if you'd play Lego Batman when the Batman Part 2 comes out. Maybe we will.
Maybe we will.
Never played. I want to play Batman Begins, the video game. Mini-Me, which is one of my favorite YouTube channels who looks at a lot of movie adaptations of video games. He recently did one on the Batman Begins, the weird game.
Oh, yeah.
Which
the one
is,
we have to instill fear in.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
The
he does that. He talks about all of that and how you think it's like it's actually giving you options, but it's not. It's just, oh, you got to throw a batarang and hit a pipe and then the steam will come down the back. I go, oh, and they
I'm afraid of steam.
They drop their guns and they go, don't hit me.
My mum used to hit me with a kettle, so I'm afraid of steam.
So, yeah, maybe.
All right.
Maybe. Yeah. What about you, Mason? Will you play that game? What's your favourite Batman game?
Batman, the movie Omega 500.
Not Arkham? Any of the Arkham games?
Oh, yeah, it's Arkham. It's Arkham
Asylum. All the girls' really good Arkham games that they made?
Yeah, it's Arkham Asylum, yeah.
Okay, interesting, interesting. There is that interesting game which is technically an episode of Batman the Animated Series where it's a side-scroller from like the 90s. And they do like full motion video in it and it's a story they made specifically for the game. It's called like The New Adventures of Batman and Robin beat up everybody on a roller coaster.
I remember the cover.
Whatever. Sure. Yeah. So yeah, fun. Right, got another one?
Here's an email from Alistair.
Alistair?
Having seen Madam Web, do you think it could justifiably be Batgirl for a tax write-off? And to that point, if Batgirl was going to be like Morbius Madam Web level nonsense, does that justify cutting studio losses and canning it?
I would say no movie. That shouldn't happen to any movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean.
Well, I agree, but I think the rule should be if you can something like that, you have to release it for free.
Yeah, sure.
Which we didn't speak about this, but they did one of those wacky Warner Brothers earnings calls or whatever, and David Zaslav, the normal guy we know and love.
We like him.
He said something like, oh, I read the script for this thing and I loved it, whatever it was. And I'm like, you didn't read it.
No.
You didn't watch.
He did say that about something
you
recently.
Didn't watch Coyote versus Acme. You didn't, yeah.
you didn't read
you didn't read this thing.
Yeah.
You're a liar. But this week they did the earnings call. They didn't even mention Coyote versus Acme, which suggests to me they're probably going to dump it. But I also read that somebody has a copy of it and they're threatening to leak it. If it gets officially deleted, they're just going to put it on the internet.
Oh, I would love that.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anything should be destroyed like this. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are movie productions where it could, you know, the thing couldn't be completed.
Totally.
You
know, and that has happened.
You know, where
before,
an actor's gotten injured or, you know, the somebody's had a meltdown and they can't finish it or whatever.
Yes.
You know, but that's a different thing than I think a mostly completed film, you know.
I completely agree. Yeah. I was just looking because somebody sent me, or I saw it on Twitter, people booing David Zaslav when he was giving a speech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just very funny because he's in front of people where he's clearly rattled because he's like, people don't talk to me like this. Mm. People don't boo and call me a fuckhead.
Yeah.
So I got this from Dan who said, for some reason I assume Mr. Sunday Movies has some strong opinions about this. And there was a Four Corners interview where they interviewed the Woolworths CEO, Brad Banducci.
Who wears a little name tag like he works at the checkout.
Ridiculous. About the lack of competition in the Australian grocery market and he absolutely makes a fucking fool of himself and then storms out and then he had to quit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was real. It's real. Yeah, I loved it.
Because
this proves to me again that these are just fucking
dumbass
yeah,
people.
Yeah, you know what would like happen here? I bet.
Why would you even do this interview? What's wrong with you?
Because he thought he could do it. That's the thing, because what would have happened here is he would have had advisors to go, no, just make a statement and don't do it.
Yeah.
And he would have gone, no, I can
I put on the polo shirt.
Yeah, yeah, I made it to this level. I can put on the thing and I can convince him I'm a good, honest bloke and blah, blah, blah. And then the guy's like, you should pay people more. And he's like, how dare you?
What a fucking idiot. Yeah. Anyway, it's good to see.
You should stop price gouging people. It's like, oh, no. I'm just going to honestly battle like you.
Yeah, shut you up. Are, mate. Yeah.
Dog. You low dog.
Nathan Cox says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, are you guys planning on watching the Rise, Dawn and War of the Planet of the Apes movies for Caravan of Garbage? Recently rewatched them and they're great.
Yes. Oh, we are.
And
terrific.
We did a commentary for the original Planet of the Apes. That's right. Maybe we'll throw in a bonus Planet of the Apes in there while we're at it.
Whoa.
Which one? Who knows? Which one do you think, though?
Burton?
Yes.
Oh. Not quite accurate to the book, though.
I agree.
Very accurate to the book.
Got any more email?
Here's an email from Reagan.
Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan. He said,
but he was the worst and he's dead.
Yeah, but he's come back.
Great.
And he's even worse.
and even more dead?
Yep.
Great.
Hey, Mason and James. I've recently read all of Robert Kirkman's Invincible in anticipation of the show.
Anticipation.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said anticipation.
Yeah, I'm making fun of him, not
yeah,
you.
Yeah, same. We're all doing it. We're making fun of Reagan. And also reread Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four, Avengers and Secret Wars in anticipation of Avengers 5, not the Kang Dynasty.
Yeah, man.
I was wondering if you had any recommendations for other long-running stories that have definitive endings.
Walking Dead, that ends. It's Robert Kirkman, if you like Robert Kirkman.
There you go, right.
What else, Mason? What's good?
My favorite completed storyline is Starman. People might know
that. Oh, you were always talking about Starman.
Yeah, DC's Starman, 80 issues. You can get the Omnibus. You can get a couple of complete compendiums.
You can get the Omnibus. You
get the bloody Omnibus, mate. Yeah. That's very good. And as I've said before, I was on a podcast recently and was banging on about this. James Robinson, who created this version of Starman, made some deal with DC where they can't use him, that character again unless they have permission.
How did he do it?
We don't know. I don't know what he did before this. I don't know what he's done since.
Yep.
But it's ironclad because they did a Stargirl series.
Oh, they couldn't use
They had
him.
To use a different – I mean, they did it for streamlining purposes as well, I think. But they should have – they could have just used this version, but they couldn't do it. They had to get Joel McHale to do it.
That's so
He
fun.
Said, I'm Joel McHale and I used to be Starman.
I'll do it.
Yeah. So they cannot ruin it. That's the thing. And that's the thing with a D-list character or, you know, C-list, whatever it is, Z-list, is that a creator can go, you know what, I'm going to create this great story for it. But then a year later, someone can go, I vaguely remember that character. Let's make him a Nazi or whatever.
Yeah.
And they've got, and that's you've ruined the character.
Yep.
But this, they cannot touch it.
Absolutely. So, I love that. I'm going through my comics to see, like, what's the thing that I like. Yeah. And there's just – I've got a lot of good comics, but I'm like, do these finish and end and whatever? I mean, there's Watchmen. They made more.
That's the thing. They definitively ended it until Alan Moore was like, I'm tired of fighting this.
Yeah, it's true. Spider-Man life story. There you go. That ends.
Speaking of Alan Moore, my favorite unfinished epic of all time, Miracle Man.
Yeah.
It's – which stopped publishing in, like, the 90s.
What?
They're finishing it.
Oh.
Marvel have the rights now, and Neil Gaiman is back on it, and they're doing it.
Do you think it'll be any good?
I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe he's phoning it in. I don't know, but I've read a few issues so far, and it's good.
Okay, cool.
Hopefully that will finish, and then
something else will happen.
Something else will happen, like an earthquake.
I would love if something else happened.
Same.
I got a lot of comics.
Yeah,
just looking through. Anyway. Maybe Batman Year One. There's one. There's another one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one, isn't it?
That's a good one, all right.
That's a good one. Just quickly here from Girl in the Reflection who says, what's the most delicious thing you've eaten lately?
Delicious thing?
Yeah.
Ooh, I had a French dip yesterday. It was very good.
Oh, yeah?
It's just a roll with a lot of meat and cheese in it. And they bake it in the oven. And you have a dipping gravy and you dip it in the gravy.
Sounds pretty good.
Oh, it's good, all right.
I went to a pub and they did a chicken schnitzel and it had a pepper sauce gravy and then a fried egg on top.
Ooh, not bad.
No, it was bad.
Oh,
it wasn't a good combination of things.
It sounds really good.
I actually ordered mine without the egg and they're like, who's not getting the egg? Who's eggless over here?
Eggless.
Yeah, and I didn't want to say
it's me.
Why would anybody fucking eat an egg on this?
Okay.
I said I already had eggs today, which wasn't true.
Whoa.
And they're like, well, you can never have too many eggs. I said, I'll worry about how many eggs
I
eat.
What's this guy, the egg council? What's going on here?
It was one of those pubs where I went there.
Oh, wait. Was he a big egg?
He was a big egg.
Well, that's weird.
I know.
Because why is he? What is he sacrificing his kids for also eggs?
I I met a listener of the show. I can't remember his name, out on Saturday night.
Oh, it was Mr. Eggs.
I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. God, I'm normally so good with names too. That's not true. But it was very nice to meet someone. Yeah, he was very nice.
Wow.
With his partner who didn't know who I was at all. And why would they?
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
But
I met a listener who didn't get their name because I was crossing the road. And they went,
"Hey, Mason."
They went, "Mason, I'm listening to you right now in my car." And I went, "Yep, good.
You suck."
Oh, what?
No, that's you saying to them.
Oh, you suck. Do something else with your life.
Get a degree. This is one of those pubs where I ordered a vodka soda because I'm like, I don't want to have beer. Like, I've had enough beer. And he's like, "Oh, here's the gay drink.
Oh, really?
I'm like, "Yeah, okay, thanks, man."
That is what? Wow.
Yeah, really good.
Wow. Is that the same? Is that the egg pub?
Yeah, it was the egg pub. They don't know what they're doing, Mason.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
Eggs and homophobia.
Yeah, I know. That's what it's called.
Side by side.
It's called the egg and homophobia.
The egg and homophobia. Oh, it's one of those classically named pubs. Wow, the egg and homophobia. Here's one more email.
Got it.
It's from Fabian.
All right.
He says, "Met the guy that made the giant bat fist from Dracula Untold."
All right.
"Hello, fellas. I'm studying game design in Sweden, and we had a presentation from a man who worked on the VFX from Dracula Untold and Geostorm."
Yes. Two movies.
He says, "I didn't meet him. That was a lie." But
he was there.
He was there.
I get it.
He said they made a program called the Bat Machine that could render 3.5 million bats on screen at the same time, something I can confidently
say
is objectively impressive. Must be nice. He also said he recommends those two movies only after getting drunk.
Oh, come on, bro.
That's right.
Yeah.
"What are some really impressive scenes, effects, or parts of a movie that otherwise suck?" That's a great question. Bad movie?
God.
Yeah.
The bit where Blade opens his eyes in Blade 3 because Blade wouldn't open his eyes.
That's right, yes.
It's a good bar.
It is a good one, yeah.
God, what's something that's good in a bad movie?
Oh.
God, we know this, don't we?
No, we don't.
Transformers, there's a lot of like, that looks pretty good, but this is a dreadful movie.
I mean, the effects of those got worse and worse,
yeah.
I think, but like objectively, Transformers 1, when you see Optimus Prime transform from a truck to a man,
that's
incredible.
You know, it's a good moment where Jim Carrey comes out of the bum of that rhino in Ace Ventura 2.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just looked up, this is on Rotten Tomatoes, 30 great scenes in bad movies or whatever.
You know what, that whole first Transformers movie, it is awful. Like the scene
it's
with the helicopter.
That bad.
No, it's awful. The scene with the when the helicopter transforms.
You've
for the
just
first
been
time.
Poisoned by the other ones.
They're all bad.
Go on. Yeah, but I agree. That is a good
that's a great. That's a great intro to the Transformers.
What about Darth Maul?
He's not a special
I'm just looking
effect.
At the list. Well, he kind of is. Wow. What about the opening of Wolverine Origins? I'm looking at this Rotten Tomatoes list.
That's not a special effect so much. It is a set piece.
Yeah, okay, fair
We're talking
enough.
About the best set pieces.
Yep.
Oh, here's a bit of news. This is from John. He's emailed in. Unless you want to, you've got a special effect.
No.
You said Transformers in the
This one, they've actually put one of the higher ones is The Mummy from 2017.
Yeah, sure.
Which said they meet Mr. Hyde, and that's one of the best moments in that terrible movie where they meet Russell Crowe.
Oh, and in that movie as well, speaking of great special effects, Tom Cruise's fake butt.
Oh, yeah, he's got a big padded butt.
Yeah. John emailed in, 4 Beatles movies, why?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I saw this.
I nearly
put
this in
news.
This
week it was announced that Sam Mendes will be directing 4 biopics about each individual members of the Beatles. This is a stupid idea, right? But also interesting because it implies that each of these movies would have the same 4 actors appearing in all of them.
We're the Beatles, all 4 of us.
I personally hope this culminates in a 5th Avengers-style movie where they team up to fight Pete Best and the guy from Yesterday.
Where the Beatles are actually going right now to watch John Lennon get shot.
I hope it culminates in one scene where they all wank in the same room.
but you want that for every movie.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But it's all, there's just a magic door with light behind it. And they're like, what's in this room? What's in this room?
How long do you reckon they'll make John Lennon's butt crack?
Oh, really long.
You'd have to, right?
Yeah. Terrifyingly long.
I mean, Sam Mendes. Like,
now, are these going to be?
Yeah, I mean, are they like kiss ass fucking?
We'll see. That's a
ones,
thing, isn't
or are
it?
They
yeah.
real ones? They, you know,
how about this? What if the 2 Beatles that are still alive get real kiss ass movies?
Yeah,
and the other 2 are just destroyed.
John Lennon beating his wife
yeah,
and neglecting
right.
his children or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
John
Lennon beat his wife. I don't know if you know that.
So did Ringo.
John Lennon. Ringo beat John Lennon's wife.
Yep.
Did Ringo really do that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but he was a drinker and all that sort of stuff. But,
sure.
You know,
that's okay then.
It's fine then. Yeah. That's okay then. I thought it was okay then.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
beat his wife.
Yeah, what I'm wondering about this is, will this happen? Will it be a simultaneous release, like that time they were all in that room together? Or will it be, maybe they'll be all on streaming? Because I think it would be weird.
It sounds like it could be an Apple thing or whoever owns the Beatles discography.
Oh, Apple now.
Disney? Disney had a
show. Oh, it might be Disney because it was Michael Jackson for a while. He owned their master recordings. Yeah, he died.
And there's that image shot of him. He's got a new movie coming out. Or his nephew plays him or something. That'll be a kiss-ass one as well.
Yeah, yeah. But this would be interesting to do as a cinema release because then you would definitively know who's the most interesting Beatle.
True.
Based on how many...
Do you think they would, like, peak, though, in the first one regardless?
Oh, they might, yeah.
Like, they'd probably do the Paul McCartney one first, right?
Who knows?
And end with Lennon?
Or maybe.
I think you'd have to bookend it like that.
Yeah. I don't know. What an odd... Like, how do you structure these? Because, again, John is correct in that they would all have to have the same actors coming in and out.
Yeah, man.
So they're all filming four movies, but would they have interconnecting scenes?
Yep.
Would they be like, what if you did one that's really serious and one that's really whimsical and one that's wacky and one, et cetera?
Yep.
You know?
Do you think they're going to go to the bit where Ringo Starr did the drums on the United States of whatever?
Did he?
Yeah, man. He was involved in that.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to sing on this weird song that nobody remembers.
I remember it.
Yeah, we remember it. I don't know. I don't care about this at all. Let's be real.
Okay.
But if they're good, if they're real, I'll say them.
Yeah, if this is an interesting take or it's, again, maybe it is different genres, what if one of them's like weird?
Yeah, Weird
Al biography.
Oh, I would love that, yeah.
What if it's just an extended scene of the Beatles in Walk Hard? You get Jack Black and Paul Rudd and the other two. The Beatles, the four Beatles.
I would love that. It would be incredible.
I agree.
Anyway, is that the show?
That's
the four Beatles?
Show. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We absolutely appreciate
there was
it.
More news than I've. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, well,
go on.
It's a little late now, isn't it?
No, it's late.
Because I'm in the last little bit of the whatevers.
It's true.
Folks, thank you so much for listening. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about it. If you've got three friends,
yeah.
You know, why don't you tell them about the public?
But don't do that thing.
No. You know?
I mean, you can.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to, though.
No, we don't require it. Folks, thank you for telling your friends about it. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review. And if you do so, James, we'll read it out on the podcast.
Got a couple here.
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually. You know. This one's 5 stars from Big Old Bino Fan, who says, 2 catty men ruin my week every week.
Excuse me?
Long-time listener and aspiring comic book writer who wandered into this podcast in search of a less angry and hateful takes around the time of Captain Marvel's release. From the first listen, I was hooked, and now I start every week listening to 2 bitter Australians who are engaged in a frivolous duel of wits until the end of time, a battle which they both refuse to prepare for and often forget they are in, as one tells
and
the other one.
One of us is bloody unarmed, I'll tell you that much.
The other one to shut up, to which the other responds with an impression of a rude Star Wars character. This might sound odd, but this podcast has gotten me through some tough times and has been a constant source of positivity and enjoyable tangents. You get past the local references, of which there are few, for fear that listeners will put them together and realize Australia cannot logically exist and end up enjoying yourself, I promise. 5 stars. 10 out of 10. Thank you, Nick and Meso, for the laughs.
That's us.
Big old Bino fan. And this one's from Dirch Chili, who says, an okay podcast, not as good as the Joe Rogan Experience, but what is.
Be.
Well, you know, I hope to one day be caught in a perpetual trance panic, and that's when this podcast will ascend to the level of Joe Rogan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've got to get juicing, man. Juicing.
What else, Mason?
Folks. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Grade Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture. Thank you to Fidel and Maisie and Surabi for moderating those places.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
That's right. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He'll keep you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet.
Damn.
He does. He edits this podcast. He makes little videos. He does all sorts of stuff.
He's got the right stuff.
He's got the right stuff.
Yeah, man.
You can also follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown. And Instagram, Nick Meso. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
I like to.
If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies. You chuck in a buck or an amount you would not miss. Or you go to BigSandwich.co.
That's right.
$9 per month.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to choose. $9 per month.
No.
But you get bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays, and more.
And more than that.
More. I don't know if it's more, actually.
No, it's about that. It's probably about exactly those that. Things. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Buy some t-shirts at tpublic.com. Next week, Dune 2. Dune Part Dieu. Dune Part Dieu.
Are you excited for Dune Part Dieu?
Yes. We.
What?
We.
You're doing away?
No.
Good.
No.
Not in it.
No.
That's it.
Oh, sure.
Let's go.
All right, grab that jam, guys. We'll see you next week.
Let's go, Mason. Let's go.
Let's go.
Zorro this week, Caravan of Garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On Billy Borderlands.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.